This is Focus West Michigan for Thursday, November 13, 2025. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. The government shutdown is over. West Michigan congressional representatives are now explaining their votes. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the details.
After 43 days, the longest government shutdown in U.S. history has come to an end. In the U.S. House, representatives voted 222-209 to reopen the federal government, but only until January 30th. On Facebook, U.S. Representative Bill Huizenga of Zeeland stated, quote, "I voted to end the Democratic shutdown. Not a single Democrat from Michigan voted to reopen the government to ensure SNAP recipients receive their benefits, or to make sure members of our military, our Border Patrol agents, and our federal law enforcement get their paychecks," end quote. Grand Rapids Democratic U.S. Representative Hillary Scolton wrote, quote, "Since the beginning of this debate, I have been clear. I will vote for a funding package for our country when it addresses the Republican-created health care crisis. Tonight's bill is a raw deal for the American people and a boon for billionaires. I'm voting no," end quote. In Michigan's 2nd District, Republican U.S. Representative John Molinar said in a statement, quote, "I just voted to end the Democrat shutdown that should have never taken place. Republicans did our job weeks before the deadline to keep the government open, but Democrats continuously blocked the bill and cut off funding for Michigan families, the TSA, air traffic control, and the heroes of our military," end quote. Michigan Democratic Senators Elissa Slotkin and Gary Peters both rejected the deal when presented on the Senate floor Sunday. I'm David Limbaugh.
The state of Michigan distributed 340,000 condoms last year. It's part of the Take Control of Your Birth Control campaign. WGVU's Dee Morrison explores how one West Michigan county is leveraging the program.
It really was about putting these supplies and information into the hands of people with as few barriers as possible.
Dr. Gwendolyn Unzicker is the medical director at Ottawa County Department of Health, one of 10 sites in the county participating in the popular initiative.
So popular, in fact, that even if the supplies from the state are wrapping up, we plan to continue having these things available for our community members.
The State Health Department and Governor's Office launched the effort last November, focusing on accessibility and equity, giving residents access to emergency contraception, birth control pills, condoms, and pregnancy tests for free and without requiring ID, paperwork, or insurance, although a major goal was connecting people with insurance options.
That is a huge thing for some people, especially if they've had negative experiences or they feel like this is an issue that's too personal to talk to anybody about. It gets them that first step to see we're not scary. We're here to help.
There's also a greater awareness that free family planning services are available to eligible Medicaid recipients. The month the campaign launched showed a 14% jump in Medicaid applications statewide. I'm Dee Morrison.
Residential customers of Consumers Energy are expected to get more help and resources with a new updated webpage. WGVU's Jennifer Moss has more.
Consumers Energy says it's made updates to its energy assistance webpage to help customers find resources to help pay their energy bills this winter. The new, more user-friendly website will offer filter functionality to find programs tailored for groups like seniors and veterans. Its development is the result of a co-design effort between the company and the customers. In a news release, Brian Lewis, Consumers Energy's Senior Executive Director of Customer Experience and Programs, says, quote, "We worked closely with Consumers Energy customers to make payment programs and saving options easier to find and use." He adds, "Their feedback helped shape a simpler enrollment process and ensure the tool is catered to their needs," end quote. Programs and services customers should be able to find information on things like state emergency relief, home heating credits, and more. You can find more information at consumersenergy.com/assistance. I'm Jennifer Moss.
Grand Valley State University is investing $17.1 million into three major construction projects on its Allendale campus. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the details.
Grand Valley State University's Board of Trustees recently approved funding for the three projects. They include a $6.3 million renovation for the admissions and registrar offices inside the Student Services Building. University leaders say the makeover will create a more welcoming and easy-to-navigate space. GVSU is also investing investing in its baseball and softball programs. They'll share a new 12,800-square-foot indoor training center. The $5.6 million indoor training space will provide year-round access and dedicated locker rooms for the university's teams. And $5.2 million is dedicated to upgrading lighting and acoustics at the Louis Armstrong Theater and Haas Center for Performing Arts. The updates are necessary to support accreditation, ensuring the school meets a specified quality standard. All projects are being funded by the school's Strategic Capital Reserve Fund. Construction will begin this month and run through January 2028. I'm David Limbaugh.
What is it like to be someone who earns too much to receive federal aid but not enough to cover basic needs? An event on Thursday in Grand Rapids aimed to give people hands-on experience of what's known as an ALICE household. WGVU's Dee Morrison reports.
It's kind of like that financial cliff where a lot of people are just right on the edge of not receiving resources because of their income.
The event began with a screening of Meeting ALICE, an episode of WGVU Public Media's show, Mutually Inclusive. It explores the challenges faced by ALICE, asset-limited, income-constrained, employed households.
ALICE can be any race, any age, any gender.
Nonprofit Access of West Michigan also conducted a poverty simulation workshop to help attendees gain a deeper understanding of the realities faced by ALICE households. Participants role-played as various ALICE individuals or families, given bills, money, and challenging situations with limited resources.
So you're living 1 month as a family in poverty, and the goal is to make it through the workshop without losing your home, making sure the kids are fed without losing your job.
Tinley Kindy is the co-executive director of operations for Access of West Michigan.
The purpose of this program is to instill compassion and empathy and trauma-informed knowledge in people in positions of power.
Poverty education workshops can be arranged through Access of West Michigan. The Meeting ALICE episode is available on the WGVU website. I'm Dee Morrison.
Coming up soon, WGVU's Shelly Irwin talks to singer-songwriter Nathan Graham ahead of his Saturday night performance at the Dogwood Performing Arts Center, but first, news from around the state. Michigan business groups are joining together to support changes to how the state handles slip-and-fall lawsuits. Colin Jackson has more.
The bills would restore Michigan to a pre-2023 standard when property owners had more protections against lawsuits for injuries that occur when there is an open and obvious danger. Wendy Block with the Michigan Chamber of Commerce says that old standard was preventing frivolous lawsuits that are now costing the state new investment.
Businesses invest when and where they have confidence. This includes confidence in the fairness of our legal system. This is a key economic competitiveness factor. When that confidence erodes, investment and opportunity, they go elsewhere.
The legislation would also require third parties who pay for lawsuits to register with the state. The bills would ban those third parties from influencing the strategy of a case. Opponents to the bills argue they would make it harder to hold people and businesses accountable. I'm Colin Jackson in Lansing.
Wednesday night, Ann Arbor Congresswoman Debbie Dingell voted against the spending bill that ended the government shutdown. She joined all Michigan Democrats in opposition, with all Republicans voting in support. Dingell says the country is facing a health care crisis and the GOP needs to get serious in helping to find a solution.
In this country, we spend twice as much as any other industrialized nation, and we have worse outcomes. We need to fix a broken system.
The 6th District Democrat says ending healthcare subsidies and spiraling premiums will force people to abandon insurance coverage. She says that will lead to less preventative medicine and more people in the emergency room. Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support the show and everything we do here, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. Singer-songwriter Nathan Graham performs this Saturday night at the Dogwood Performing Arts Center. WGVU Shelly Irwin spoke with Graham about his performance, his beginnings, and what he has prepared for the West Michigan audience.
Well, don't miss attending a wonderful opportunity to hear great music. This Saturday night, it's all held at our Dogwood Performing Arts Center, where on stage, Noah Guthrie and Nathan Graham grace the stage. And I get to talk to guitarist, Chicago singer-songwriter Nathan Graham, that will be co-headlining on the line. Lucky job I have. Hi to you, Nathan.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Thank you for being here and looking forward to seeing you, of course, Saturday night. I'll give all the details on how to see you on stage for sure. Well, did you always want to, be a singer, songwriter, guitarist, Nathan?
Not always. I kind of just wanted to be a guitar player for a long time. And, you know, I started writing songs and I was giving them to people to sing. And I was just like, I don't want to sing like that. I don't want to dub like that. And so I just kind of had to start, you know, just start singing. And my mom would just tell me, like, you know, there's so many people who sing that aren't great singers. So all you have to do is just be able to be heard and project. And so I started learning how to sing.
Nice. Where's home for you?
Chicago.
Yes. And that's what, as we mentioned, so good that you started there and stay there, hop it a skip across our wonderful lake. What's your style as a guitarist, singer, songwriter, Nathan?
I mean, I'd say it's like bluesy Americana soul music. That's really what I grew up on. Whether it was listening to like Dobie Gray and Jim Croce with my dad, or listening to like, all the blues greats of my mom. And she, you know, she is a huge fan of Motown, the Sound of Philadelphia. And then I started getting into like Americana stuff, like, anybody from, say like, you know, Bruce Springsteen. I actually just saw the Bruce Springsteen movie, so he's top of mind. So, Bruce Springsteen, Nathaniel Rateliff, who else? Joe Cocker, anybody like that?
Man.
Like, those are people that I really got into.
Nice. And yet you have certainly your own style. And yes, we will see this Saturday night. It's an evening with Nathan Graham and Noah Guthrie, 7:30 p.m. Black Box, the beautiful Dogwood Center for Performing Arts. So talk to me a little bit about your debut album, Saint of Second Chances.
Sure. So we actually recorded the first version of this during the pandemic. Before the pandemic. We had recorded this version of it, and we were going to release it, and then of course the pandemic happened, and all those plans just kind of got shelved. But as that kind of happened, I was playing the songs in my room, and they kind of evolved into different things, and I wrote more songs, and I was just like, oh well, these songs kind of fit on this album as well. So we ended up re-recording the entire album, releasing it with a Chicago record label called Pravda Records here, and we did a lot of work on it. Had a lot of, you know, like people that aren't in the band, like, you know, in the core band kind of playing on it as well. We did a lot of work on that album, and I'm really proud of it.
So cool. Now, what will we see Saturday night? I should know this, but do you know, you hang with Noah Guthrie?
I don't. This is the first time we're going to meet him. We've been texting back and forth, just kind of getting a feel for each other and kind of getting to know each other. I know both of us do a cover of Ohio, so hopefully Neil Young's song Ohio. So hopefully we kind of collaborate on that during the tour. I would love for us to both be able to sing on that. So that would be amazing.
Great. And then what will we literally hear and see from you on stage?
We're traveling with a 4-piece band. This is like the core band, so 2 guitars, bass, and drums. And you're going to hear a lot of the songs that you're going to hear on the record. We have some new songs that we're going to be playing as well. One of them has been released on this EP that we did called the Way Through EP. A couple of songs have not been released yet, so they'll get to hear that too.
Cool. Is this, are you having fun? Are you touring now?
No, we are just doing the rehearsals for the tour right now. And then November 13th is the first date of the tour. I think that's Kalamazoo, if I'm correct. But yeah, so that's the first date of the tour. And then we go from November 13th to the 23rd. We're ending in Nashville.
Oh, well, that's pretty cool. Although, you know, Dogwood Center should be a highlight for you in beautiful Fremont for sure. All right. How do we find out more about you and Saint of Second Chances for sure, that does bridge Southside blues with Southern Americana?
Yeah. Nathan Graham Music, that's the handle for everything. That's the Instagram, Facebook, The website, I don't think I have a Twitter, but if I do have a Twitter, it's probably Nathan Graham Music as well. So yeah, it's anything that says Nathan Graham Music on it, that's how you can find out about the record and the tour.
Wonderful. More is not always better. We just cut to the chase. Okay, I'll give all the details again about getting your very affordable tickets to the Dogwood Center for Performing Arts. You on stage, 7:30 p.m. this Saturday night. Travel safely and enjoy our West Michigan across the pond as you, Chicago singer, songwriter, and guitarist Nathan Graham, come our way. Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Wednesday, November 13, 2025. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan tomorrow. Thanks for listening.